some frenzy talk backstage about clothing and hair and things going on.
Makeup. Like that. Very exciting. Our makeup team is just.
Sorry, I wasn't there.
No, it's okay. We were talking about your belt buckle, which seems to be inspired by Captain America.
I've had this belt buckle for years.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of.
Captain America has been around more than that, so I think you copied.
No, yourself. I found this belt buckle in an iceberg after it falling off of a missile going into space.
Ah, spoilers.
Wow.
Spoilers. Captain America is based on this piece of clothing. All of my clothing is inspired by. This is a Hulk. Here.
Oh, nice. I can see it's down by your balls, too.
Yep. I hulked out through here.
I'm seeing a little bit of Giant Man, too.
Thank you, Alex.
Welcome.
Well,
we lost somebody on that.
Guys, I'm very excited about our guest tonight. He's one of the writers of Dynamite's Lone Ranger and Tonto comics. So let's welcome him out, ladies and gentlemen, Neil Turrett!
Yeah!
Hello! Thank you so much for coming on the show. You can pull the chair closer if you want. Up to you. Yeah, if you could stay as far away from me as possible, that would be great. Awesome.
We're in
the
shadows, sir.
That would be good.
I should just sit down there and yell.
Usually what we do, I mean, I know you missed this, but usually the guests walk on, shake our hands, and keep walking.
You just keep walking.
Just leave.
And I was told specifically not to do that. That's why
that's cool. I figured we could try talking to one of the guests. As opposed to just dismissing them after we say their name.
That seems like a poor idea for a show.
I could just sit here quietly if you like.
Thank you. Yes. Jeez, God. I know, clearly you dressed up in your nice shorts, so you sit there. And
at least
good.
Mine don't have a hole in them.
Fair.
Neil, thanks so much for coming on the show. Let's talk about Lone Ranger.
Is there enough time to really cover your balls, by the way?
I can't keep them covered.
I don't know if we have enough time just for this show.
We've been doing the show for, what, 4.5 years now?
At 5 years.
This is the only time we have ever complimented Justin.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. Also, it started as an insult and somehow ended up being a compliment. It's weird how it goes. We're becoming friends, finally.
It had to happen sometime.
Yeah.
Neil, let's actually talk about comic books.
Yeah.
Chowdy. All right. Let's talk about comic books. So, Lone Ranger and Tonto, how'd you get hooked up with that?
Interestingly, a little bit by nepotism, because one of my best friends is a guy named John Cassaday, who some of you may have heard of.
Nope.
He was doing all the covers for the Lone Ranger series, the regular series that Brett Matthews was writing. And they wanted to try to make more money and have a side series. And Brett had a buddy who wanted to introduce the comics, and John said, well, let my friend Neil do it too. So Brett wrote 1 and 3 with this other guy, and I wrote 2 and 4 with Brett. So that's how it happened. The 4 issues came out, I think, 1 a year over the course of 4 years. The last one came out, I think, in January. Yeah.
Now, this was your first experience writing for comics, right?
The first published one, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you have some that you wrote?
You have a bunch in your drawer. Tell us about those.
Yeah.
Well, there's one that a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Ah, good.
I've never heard yet.
Good start.
Yeah. Well, you were saying, we were talking about this a little bit backstage, but you said it was kind of an interesting experience learning how to write for the 4.
Well, I think that most people don't really understand how difficult it is, because even if you're working with, it's one thing if you're somebody who's worked with an artist before, and you can kind of let them go and interpret things however they want. It depends on the relationship you have. But if you've never done it, you know, if I'm sure a lot of people here have tried to write a screenplay or written a screenplay or whatever, or a play, whatever, and there's all this description going on. But instead of doing it over the court, you know, with moving pictures, you have to figure out how many panels per page and how to move the action. And, you know, you've got to remember that, now I'm forgetting, the even pages, the odd pages are on the right. So if you want to have like an image of somebody waiting, you want them to turn the page and have something interesting happen. You know, it's a lot of little things like that you wouldn't actually consider when you're writing. There's another thing too. I actually remembered J. Michael Straczynski. I don't know how to pronounce his name. He wrote something once that was really interesting. It's like, if you're writing a screenplay, guy enters with a gun, does a somersault, comes up shooting, and it's all one thing. But you can't do that in a comic book. Maybe it was Alan Moore. I don't know. It was one of the big writers talking about
Alan
something.
Moore.
Something. Yeah. The idea is you can't have the panel of the entry, you know, him doing the somersault all the way through and then coming up. It's just, it's bam, bam. You know, it's you got to do it differently mm-hmm. because you're not, you're doing it panel by panel rather than, you know, just with a fluid motion.
Yeah, James is like, what Superman enters America and walks. And walks, and walks, and walks.
Right,
and walks.
Right. And famous we know words. How well that's turned out.
Yeah.
Really well, actually. It turned out just fine.
Yeah, you're still following the series.
Yeah, it's great. I have nothing more to say about that. Let's keep talking about your
but,
comics.
I mean, that was the thing that I found interesting. And I actually, Brett Matthews is a very interesting guy. But he taught me a lot on happy.
Trash him. You can trash him.
Well, no, actually, he's a very. I mean, he's not the world's most socially adept individual. But he's a good friend. Like, I love the guy. But there are times when I would listen to him talk, and he would try to explain things, and I had no idea what he was talking about until, and over the course of time, it started to make more sense. But he really taught me, and he actually learned from Joss Whedon how to write comics. Yeah. And, you know, so basically, yes. Indirectly, I learned how to rewrite comic books from Joss Whedon.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What I like to tell them.
So it was like telephone.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So Joss Whedon was like, write this way, and then he was like, write this way, and what you got was purple dishwasher.
Something like that.
The dregs, yeah.
Right.
Cool, good. What was your take on Lone Ranger and Tonto?
Are you a Tonto guy?
What do you mean, what was my take on that?
Yes,
I think anybody who's not a Tonto guy, huh? I don't want to know. Let's just put that way. But,
well, what makes one a Tonto guy?
Well, I mean, Tonto's just awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, he says so much.
Sell us on Tonto. I don't know.
Well, he says so much without saying anything, and he's the cool guy. I mean, Lone Ranger is still a kid, and Tonto's the experienced one who's been around the block, who, you know, and it's a lot of times we're seeing things through his eyes. He's the guy who gets to say Kimosabe. I mean, you know, it's... I mean, somebody called me Kimosabe today, actually. I couldn't believe
it. Was it Tonto?
Was it Lone Ranger?
No, this guy's Israeli. I mean, he's not even remotely.
Was he cool?
Not really.
You just defeated your own point.
Yeah.
And people would say Kimosabe these days are a little...
But I think it translates across the spectrum, is my point. Is that people even who think they're cool, you know.
There's a little Tonto in everyone.
you want some?
Yeah. No.
I gave up on that one.
I heard in the back that there's a little Tonto in you, too. Is that what we were talking about with the...
Oh, no.
Because you're in Syracuse.
Yeah, we were talking... We always talk about our histories and backgrounds. I have some ancestors who are Native American, so I'm saying I'm very Tonto-like.
Just because you're from Syracuse doesn't mean you have ancestors there.
And you once held a lacrosse stick.
I've held a lacrosse stick that's very... That's legit Native American.
Oh, cool. You like corn.
And you scalped somebody once.
Yeah.
This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah. Is there a collection that people can pick up?
Yeah, all four issues are out in the trade. Which, had I thought of it, I would have brought it tonight.
Man, you ruined it.
I might as well leave now.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, you're supposed to leave like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
this is what we're walking.
We try to be as antagonistic to the guests as we possibly can.
You work the water station and bring us water tomorrow. I like we have a water station now. And feel free to get up and get a water.
I didn't trust it. That's why I brought my own.
Yeah, I know. It's good.
I've known Justin a long time. I don't think that we've ever had a non-antagonistic conversation.
It's true.
And I knew what I was doing.
I don't know how to not be antagonistic.
I don't want to dwell on it too much, but I think your water's gone bad.
What? You think so?
Yeah.
Nah, this has gone good.
Guys, I think we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
All right.
Gone good. It's beer. Water gone good.
That's good. This is great. We're just going to keep throwing out.
Branded.
Awesome. Beer. Give us money if you have a chance. That'd be great.
Big beer?
Yeah. The way the stack works is we have each made a pick, a title that we particularly like for one reason or another that came out this week, and we're going to go to bat to it. So first thing we're going to talk about, this is Pete's pick, which is Batman, Knight of Vengeance.
Yeah.
Three. Now, for those of you who haven't been paying attention to comics, this is taking place as part of the Flashpoint event. So it's an alternate universe Batman where it's actually Batman's father is Batman. And this is a little bit of a spoiler, but leading into the third issue, Batman's mom is the Joker.
I was going to say, is Joker a woman?
Yeah.
Thanks, Batman.
As crazy this was my favorite thing to come out of Flashpoint. I thought this was a really fun series. And it's just kind of playing with stuff that we know and then seeing kind of the opposite of what we know is really kind of messed up. So it's very enjoyable.
Yeah, fun.
Yeah, it's good kind of.
So
scary
what? A couple of scary fun. Okay.
Yeah, this series is so like bleak. Like everyone's having a terrible time.
Yeah.
In this series. Commissioner Gordon, even Commissioner Gordon, Batman just lies to Commissioner Gordon. Like, and yeah. Gordon.
So
and
then he gets his throat slit. The comic version of Breaking Bad.
Oh man. Probably.
Nobody watches Breaking Bad.
I love Breaking Bad. I don't see a lot of parallels.
I mean, being so bleak.
Oh, you're saying sadness?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're veritable twins.
I'm not saying Batman's cooking meth. I'm just asking.
What are you saying? Spoiler.
I'm not saying that Batman's cooking meth.
Flashpoint is all about like making meth. No, it's sort of a
yeah.
recipe
that's
for
what this
keeping up on.
The deal with Flashpoint is
all
or stand
exactly. All of the DC characters get cancer, and they're like, before we die, we're gonna make a little meth, and that's pretty much it.
And then most of the back half of the issues are after the subway ad. It's just like instructions on how to make meth. But no one ever gets to the subway ad, so
yeah, nobody knows about
subway ads. It's unbelievable. Like you have to keep paging through the terms.
I feel like DC in the past, since those ads started and all of the news about Flashpoint and the reboot, they're like, we have no idea what comics are about. Like, they just somehow, like, they got hit. If it was the Flintstones, they got hit in the head with a bowling ball, and they're, like, different people now. Because, like, this is a great miniseries, but the rest of Flashpoint, I'm like, what? Like, what? Like, I don't know, is anyone reading Flashpoint?
Yes.
No, that should be an ad on television.
Yeah, you know you're not obligated to, right?
Yeah. Well, but I feel like you are, because each issue I'm like, there has to be something interesting in here. No, just people being sad. Even the flagship title, like, not much has happened. It's just a Flash being like, I'm all burned. Like, terrible shit. And then, like, I don't even know why. It's just so you feel bad for him. And then, like, the Outsider, like, all these other things, like, Aquaman hates everybody. And everyone hates Aquaman. In the Flash, in the last issue, he shows up and he's like, surely my friend Aquaman will help me out here. And Aquaman just looks at him and he's like, what? And then they move on. And that's, like, the climax of the fourth issue, which is the penultimate chapter of the series.
Yeah, they actually spend the fourth issue, like, a good chunk of it talking about whether there's ever going to be any Pizza Fridays ever again.
Yeah.
Which was great. And I was like, well, I want to know. I definitely want to tune in for the fifth issue. Now, I like pizza.
Hopefully the fifth issue would just be all Pizza Friday.
Yeah, I will
you
say...
You better get some pizza with the last chapter for what they put us through.
Totally. Well, that's actually, instead of the subway ad, you're going to get to the middle and there'll just be a slice of pizza.
A hot slice of pizza? Now, that's the only way they could redeem themselves. But no, this series is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, this could be a standalone.
This is very good. That was actually the one thing that I was going to bring up that held me back about this last issue a little bit, is that it's not standalone. The first issue, great. Second issue, great. Third issue, a lot of it is spent with Batman saying, there might be a better world than this. I have a chance to change everything, referring to what's going on in the Flashpoint miniseries. And that was a little bit of a bummer to me. I just want it to be the self-contained story.
Yeah.
Personally. But otherwise, really good art. I said it about, I think, the first issue, but it's very reminiscent to me. If you like Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale's stuff on Long Halloween and other stuff, I think this is very reminiscent.
Yeah, but Azrael and Russo have been working together for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, the 100 Bullets is great. And they did that 5-issue Batman arc right after Hush, which was dynamite.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I'd ever seen Russo draw Batman. And so this was like, of the Flashpoint minis, this was the only one I had even an inkling to get, but I just decided I'm not going to read any of them, although now maybe I'll pick them.
Yeah. Get the giant grasshopper on the cover, because that character's got legs.
Azzarello's, like, of the rebooted stuff, one of the very few of the books that I'm actually looking forward to read is Azzarello and Cliff Chang doing Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Because Azzarello, I mean, almost anything he writes is great.
Yeah. Except Superman. All right, let's move on.
Superman, that's right.
Yeah.
The one with Jim Lee.
That was a
terrible
one. No good. All right, let's move on. This is apparently your pick.
Apparently.
Is Punisher number one. Now, first thing I want to mention, actually, about this is Pete did not pick Punisher number one, despite being the number one Punisher fan in the entire world.
Yeah, that's fucked up. What happened? What betrayal?
What do you mean? I bought it. That's my comic.
But we choose a comic as our pick.
Right.
Your pick is not the Punisher.
That's right.
And I like this all right. It's not like my favorite, but I picked it
because
just to make fun of me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So in your face.
Rucka is.
It's actually my pick, so I sort of talk.
Oh.
I don't know, dude.
You just wanted. You wanted to bust my balls.
Well, I don't know. It just seems weird that you were sort of.
Let me ask you a question. No, no, don't answer. Okay. Don't answer. Yeah. Okay.
This comic is very. It's a good take on the Punisher. You know why I like it?
Why?
Because he doesn't talk.
Because he's barely in it? He's in it for like two panels? That's what you like about it?
It's a smart take. Let me tell you, I've been reading the other Punisher book.
Punisher Max, which is amazing.
I've been really good. Very, yeah. Very much in love with that. And this is a nice sort of companion book to that, as opposed to what I thought it was going to be, like the Punisher being like, Spider-Man, I'm going to kill this guy. And I mean, like, don't do that, blah, blah, blah. Instead, this is like the Punisher doing things, and it's just like you don't actually get inside his head at all. When Punisher Max is all about being inside his head. This is just like observing the way he works and seeing it all happen. I think it's a really good take on it. I love the layout of the issue. It's very silent for like the first half. Second half is really wordy and sort of...
Yeah. Can I actually... I was sitting there when Pete first read the issue, and he was like, oh, man, I'm really excited. I'm really nervous. And when he was done with it, I asked him, okay, what did you think of it? And he was like, well... The first part was good because there was no words, and then people started talking, and then there was the second thing, I'm like, what the fuck was that? So that was, is that still your
situation? Yeah, that's still how I feel about it.
Pete's life is like bullets versus words, and he always votes for bullets.
Yeah.
And that's the Punisher.
I like this. I wasn't 100% in love with it, but I think it's a really solid, good issue. What I particularly liked about it is it's incredibly reminiscent of Greg Rucka's stuff on Gotham Central.
Yeah.
And if you change Punisher into Batman and New York City into Gotham City, it would be the same thing, but I'm fine with that because Gotham Central is great and it's good to have it back in the Marvel Universe.
Yes, finally have Gotham Central in the Marvel Universe.
Pete, though, what did you think about this?
Well, the tough thing for me was he's barely in it. And then they...
Did you miss him?
Yeah, I did miss him. But they're trying... The art is very much... You can tell it's kind of like computer-made. It's got that smooth kind of look, which I like my Punisher gritty, not shiny. You know what I mean? So, like...
And you're very mistrustful of computers in general.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, yeah. Which is very interesting. But,
do you like actual dirt on the page?
When I open it up, just like, you want a piece of pizza,
yeah.
I want to feel dirty. Like, I'm like, oh, I gotta clean my pants.
Like grease.
If there was pizza in your comic, it would do that too.
Oh,
yeah, it would drip on you. Pizza. I don't know. Are you a Punisher fan?
Not really.
Cool. Alright, we'll move on with my pick then.
Great.
This is my pick for issue of the week. Is Rachel Rising, number one by Terry Moore. I don't know if you've... What?
You keep hitting me.
You can look through.
You read them now.
Oh, okay.
And you then have get to us some water. Why haven't we had any water?
You gotta sit by that water table and show everybody the comics, Neil. Who got this guy?
Yeah, well, I don't even know.
This is ridiculous. This is the worst show we've ever had.
That is so fun. So far from
being here.
This
definitely is not true. Rachel Rising is great. Big fan of Terry Moore. He writes very unique, very interesting, very different stories. What's happening in this issue, it's actually not 100% clear. There's a lot that's held back in this issue. Basically, a girl named Rachel...
Rises,
yeah. Well, she wakes up in the dirt. She's been buried. She thinks she's buried alive, but she's not quite sure what's happening. Weird things are happening to her eyes. Gets back home. She's like, oh, man, what happened to me last night? What a crazy night I had. And by the end of the issue, people are like, you're not Rachel. And that's pretty much everything that goes on.
Yeah.
But it's intriguing. It's strange. It has a different feel from anything else that I've read this week and anything else that I've read this month even. So I'm definitely fascinated to pick up the second issue. Also, Terry Moore is great about drawing characters that don't look like anybody else on the stands and actually look like real people, which is very cool and very interesting
to me. You mean even those covers where like Obama or like Hillary Clinton are there?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, please read this book.
Yeah, totally. Except for those, actually.
I would like to say I really enjoyed the pace of this. It was creepy and intriguing. I'm definitely hooked. But it's weird to me. Like, if I woke up out of a grave, I wouldn't be as calm. I wouldn't be like, hey.
How do you know? Has it happened?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Guys, I know what we're doing after the show.
I got halfway through burying him. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, that was at the beach, though.
Yeah.
But it's
we had quite a weekend.
She's, you know, she, like, wakes up out of the dirt, stumbles down the road. People are like, do you need help? And she's like, no. Really? You don't need help?
She just got out of a grave. She's, like, doing better already.
I might want to go, you know, get checked out.
To a doctor? I don't know. Well, she does. She's like, I gotta go see my friends. And that's nice. I like this a lot because it reminded me of Twin Peaks.
Ooh.
From the, like, Laura Palmer perspective. If she was, like... If she was wrapped in plastic.
And if she actually came back to life.
If she came back to life. It's very... The
and then she went to the diner... And got like a pie.
Yeah. And the guy was like,
and if it was
there's
like
a
that,
fish in the percolate.
And then there was a lady just petting a log.
Yeah. Yeah. Twin Peaks fans. Twin Peaks?
Sorry. I always.
Yeah.
I would love to see it. I just haven't yet.
Okay. I have all the VHS tapes.
Oh, that's great. After the show, we can go bury Pete.
Here's the thing. I taped it myself, so you have to skip like every other thing that's taped on there.
Hey, I got a question.
Yeah, please.
How do you guys ever get anybody to come back to this show?
Oh!
Never happened. That's why we started doing
that's
the water.
That's why you're here.
That's why actually, yeah, like, so our guest canceled. Neil, can you fill in?
Yeah.
Usually they do the water station, we take them home, show them a couple of episodes of Twin Peaks, bury them alive, and then never come back.
Yep.
Sounds like a good show.
Kind of
stay in your booth.
Thank you, booth man and producer. Disco lights always going at comic book club. Little known fact.
Disco ball
down.
And that's it for the stay. Guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out booth man. Sorry.
We'll cover it in the whatchamacallit.
In the whatchamacallit?
In the
what was your opinion on Rachel Rising?
I don't have one.
Okay, good. if it's your first time at the show, booth man lives in the booth. That's why he's dressed like that.
Give it to us straight, Boothman.
If you had to pick one superhero/villain to represent your higher power, God, as it were,
ooh,
who would that be, and how would you justify your choice? From Eric.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you for such.
Eric.
Yeah. Eric. let's see. God.
Well, I mean, Jesus is a comic book character.
Yeah, he is.
And, no, I don't want to go there. Superman.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't know. Superman?
Good.
I guess.
Huh?
That's weird.
I'm going to go with the Punisher.
Wow!
Vengeful.
Who would you worship if superheroes and supervillains?
Worship the shit out of Tano.
Yeah, and I guess we're gonna discount people like Hercules and whatever else that are actually gods in the comics, right?
Huh?
Are we?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why?
No.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, boom.
Yeah, boom.
Oh, okay. Hercules.
Why? Because he's strong?
No, because he's a god.
I worship strong men. Strongest me.
He drink beer. I like beer.
Is Hercules a god or is he a son of one of the gods?
He's technically a demigod.
Yeah, he's not actually a god. He's a demigod. Thor is a god.
Thor is a god from a different religion.
And this is why wars start to happen.
Yeah.
Wars.
It's like a titan kind of
thing.
Oh, Hercules? No. Titans are above.
In that case, I'd probably go with Donna Troy. Come on.
Yeah, you always want to choose a god that you want to fuck. That's the whole point.
Like Hercules.
Yeah.
I think Hercules would be a gentle lover.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's nice. That's a great...
I think it depends on how much he's been drinking.
Who, Alex or Hercules?
I'd have to be drinking a lot.
You suggested it.
Who would you worship?
Gaia from Captain Planet and the Planet 2.
Is that the one that says art?
Huh? Trying to get a spot on the Planeteers.
Is that how that works?
I think so.
You worship a god and they're like, you want to be a god?
Well, if they're not gods, they're like sort of angels. I think Captain Planet and the Planeteers is a parable about sort of a justice earth. And Hoggish Greedley is...
Okay, Pete, what's your pick?
You guys should read my blog or memoir.
I'm going to say the Hulk.
Cause strong.
Yeah.
Cause strong.
And it'd be
Hulk smash.
Yeah.
It'd be a judge.
I feel like it'd be obvious when I made him angry, you know. So I could live with it.
It would be obvious if you made him angry. That's how you're choosing your god.
Yeah. So some gods you don't know. Like, does God really like me? I don't know. You would know if Hulk.
Is that how you chose your wife as well?
Maybe.
Cool. Eric, raise your hand if you ask that, Eric, and you're going to get some free comics.
And a free tattoo.
Yeah, and a free lock and key tattoo.
You can add it to your real tattoos.
There you go. Let's get the next question.
If the Teen Titans were all chosen for a Hunger Games / Battle Royale situation, who would win?
Okay.
Which Teen Titans is this? Is this the Dick Grayson-led Teen Titans or the Wonder Girl-led Teen Titans? The current
audience member?
Oh.
Also, explain Hunger Games.
The whole
it's
thing.
It's like Death Games.
Death Games.
Death Games.
Death Games.
You're hungry for death. Got it.
Yeah, boy.
Young adult fiction.
Yep.
Paranormal.
Right.
Where are we? Who would win?
Got it.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. You guys reading some young adult fiction?
Yeah.
Hunger Games, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Hunger Games is awesome.
Yeah.
You never read The Hunger Games?
No.
Is it like Goosebumps?
It's like some R.L. Stein shit.
R.L. Stein, yeah. I don't think it is.
No?
No, I don't know. I didn't read Goosebumps.
Did you read the next two books?
I read
after
all
Hunger Games?
Yeah, I read all three.
They're pretty bad.
Oh, I don't know. The second one's pretty good.
Aww,
the third one,
are.
I'm not crazy about the ending of the third one, but the third, I think the overall
you guys
trilogy. I read the trilogy,
yeah.
All three of them.
Yeah, we're going to get a young adult fiction
days.
Here.
I guess.
Young adult fiction club.
Huh?
We'll talk about that later. Well, you know a lot about Teen Titans, you seem to be implying. So, which Teen Titans member would survive?
I would take Dick Grayson over all of them.
What?
What?
Yeah.
Because the guy, he's the leader. He knows everybody's like Batman with, you know, having everybody's weakness with the Justice League.
Yeah, but Superboy would be like...
Like,
tactile telekinesis.
Like Dick Grayson wouldn't have kryptonite waiting for him.
Oh.
I don't know. Dick Grayson doesn't do that, though. Bruce Wayne, yes. Dick Grayson's like...
Live or die?
Yeah, whatever.
Dick Grayson, man.
That's a good impression.
That's exactly... It's uncanny.
He's, a very high-pitched voice. He's a very high-pitched voice. He's like, I'm gonna be a Batman eventually.
I'm a Nightwing.
Remember when I was a circus guy? let's see.
Pete, you have an answer for this one?
Well, I'm going to go with Beast Boy, just because you already took Superboy, so...
Yeah.
You chose Superboy? Beast Boy, why? Because he can change shapes.
Yeah, he can change into big animals. That's pretty cool.
He can change into T-Rex. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Kid Flash.
Raven. Just because.
Raven? No, she's got issues.
Now, wait a second. Is this... Is it Wally West Kid Flash or Bart Allen Kid Flash?
Bart Allen. Bart Allen's better than Wally.
Yeah, but he got shot in the knee.
That is the stupidest thing you've ever said.
No,
ever?
Wally West is a Flash. Bart is Kid Flash.
But not originally he wasn't.
Huh? No, I know, but like he was made to be a Flash, while Bart is... He is made to be Kid Flash.
They actually killed him off when he was Flash, so that's good.
I know, but like they killed him off after like two issues of being Flash. They were like, This is really not working. So then they went through all this, they went like aged Thanks. Him through time, then he went back and forward in time, killed him,
hey,
and came back as Kid
let's
Flash.
Let's stop talking about this.
We always turn to Pete for the transition.
Yeah, raise your hand if you ask that. You're gonna get some free comics.
Awesome.
Let's get the next
exactly.
question.
Alright. Cyclops sanctioned murder with X-Force and moved everyone to exile / there's been a / in every single question so far.
People have
Asteroid M. Does this mean Magneto was right?
Wow.
Interesting.
Yes.
Magneto was right and Professor Xavier was wrong, I guess you're implying that.
That's impossible.
Well, I mean, if... Oh, boy. This is going to get real wonky.
I think it's good. I think...
if. Go ahead.
No, I think that's a good point. I think, yeah, it's sort of true.
Well, but it's not necessarily Magneto was right. It's that Cyclops is kind of acting like Magneto. And that
but also Professor X is acting like Magneto.
Professor X is kind of standing there being like, yeah, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, but ever since he started walking again, he's been real like, whatever we, like, whatever. Like, he doesn't barely do anything.
So basically, you gotta break his legs to make him into a real good dick.
He has more time to think because he's sitting around all day.
Oh my, that's sad.
And you can walk around and do so much.
I hope there's nobody in a wheelchair here.
Huh?
Okay.
Well, what do you think? Was Magneto right?
Yeah.
I didn't read it. I don't know.
Just in general.
Magneto versus the philosophies of Magneto versus Professor X. Because what's happened lately in the X-Books is that Cyclops has sanctioned X-Force to go out and be the Black Ops Extreme Force, killing a bunch of people. And all this other stuff has gone on.
Yeah, all the mutants are living on one island together, separately from everybody else.
I think generally speaking, Magneto is general. I mean, if we're going with the time immemorial stance the two of them have, I side with Magneto. I think that
you side with Magneto?
I think I root for the X-Men, but I feel like the reality of the world, Magneto has a better handle on it than Professor X. Professor X much more.
You mean kill all the humans?
Yeah, basically. That's
your stance point.
Yeah, basically. Well, us mutants, we feel like, you know.
Us mutants?
You know, homo
superior. Are you talking about people with red hair?
Us people with homo superior.
No.
I think that generally speaking, it's the Malcolm X versus Martin Luther King debate. And I think that ultimately, as much as you want to believe that Martin Luther King was right, I think that Malcolm X probably was... I mean, had a finger on the reality. I think there's what you hope for and what the reality is.
Well, we like to keep sort of our issues in fiction. So we probably won't comment on that.
Yeah, it's like more of a Captain America versus Iron Man.
Yeah, that makes less
sense. Yeah, if you could say something more like that.
Well, I feel like Schism is going to sort of reorient the X-Men to sort of deal with that.
Yes. So stay tuned. Raise your hand if you ask that. Going to get some free comics and a free tattoo. Let's get the next question.
What superhero sidekick would you be?
Oh boy.
I'm already on record as being Dick Grayson.
Dick Grayson?
Yeah, I'm already. Yeah.
You'd be Dick Grayson's sidekick?
No, I would be Dick Grayson.
You'd be Little Nightwing.
British? British?
Yeah.
British Nightwing?
I don't know. I say little, and I think he's like, oh, I have a chimney sweep.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. I don't know either. Let's move on.
Yeah.
So I think Little Nightwing.
Yeah, Little Nightwing.
No, the question was, which sidekick would you be? Right?
Yeah, but I think you'd be a sidekick to anybody.
Whose sidekick would you be?
I would be Bruce Wayne's sidekick.
Okay. Like, so you'd be a Robin.
Yeah, I'd like Dick Grayson. That's what I'm saying.
But you wouldn't be Dick Grayson. You'd be you.
I understand that. I'm saying that he's always been my favorite, so I would emulate. My character choice would be emulate.
You'd be a ripoff?
Yeah, but I don't think you'd be.
Would you wear the real tight?
No, interesting. I would prefer the Tim Drake costume with the long pants.
You like not the Jason Todd.
As evidenced by what I'm wearing tonight.
Yeah, you seem like more of a Jason Todd.
Yeah. We're going to beat you with a crowbar.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
Crowbar.
Too soon.
Is that like an anti-Semitic thing or what?
What?
Is that like an anti-Semitic thing?
Yeah, real anti-Semitic. Who's Cypher? Well, I mean, probably Cypher.
Yeah, Cypher. You want to be Cypher Cypher?
What would you do?
What would you do? You would hold the dictionary?
I think so. I'd be like, I don't know. What do you want to reference? What language do you want to learn?
What would your powers be?
Here's the thing.
Real subservient? Extra subservient?
He'd be like, go to the library, and I'd be like, cool, I'm safe.
You would cite sources.
Yeah. Footnote. We've got Cypher in the footnote.
No. I'd be Ibid.
Ibid?
Ibid.
That's amazing. Great answer.
You answer.
I want to be Bucky. I want to be Captain America. Son.
No, but you're not going to be Bucky.
I would be me as Bucky. I would be
Did you learn anything from what he did?
Yeah,
went through, you're going to dig.
So basically, you'd be like the second Bucky, and Captain America would be like, well, my Bucky, first Bucky was died. I loved him.
Yeah.
You're a poor substitute.
You think he would say, you're a poor substitute?
No, but you know it. He'd be like,
I want to be even younger. I want to be like 9. And I want to be in war being like, what?
Any different from what I said?
Because you're the whole time we've been doing this show, you admire a man who literally this is the hero you strive to be, a computer.
Yeah.
And you want to be the subservient version of that.
Yeah.
You
like, I want to be a MacBook Air.
No. Yeah. You don't. You want to work for. You want to work for a MacBook Air. You want to be like a TI-85 calculator that eventually plugs into the MacBook Air.
That sounds great. As long as I'm safe.
What if we mean safe? I don't think you should be a sidekick.
Oh my God.
You should be at home. You should be a son. You should be someone's son. Ultimate sidekick.
That's fine. Yeah, I would be the sidekick of Barry, the guy who appears one panel is like, we gotta get out of town before fear itself happens.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you could just like do lawn work.
Sounds great to me. Pete?
I don't sidekick.
Great. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics and a lock and key tattoo. Is that it for the text?
Yep.
That's it? That's all it. Right. So for the rest of the questions, we're going to do a lightning round. First answer is always correct. So let's hit it.
How is the digital something?
Generation?
You want to take a look at that word? How is the digital...
How has digital comics affected the comic genre, if any? Is that right? I'm sort of a cipher.
If you need any help,
just let me know.
Cool.
We were actually talking about this a lot last week because the guys that we had on the show are releasing a comic digitally called Power Play on Comixology, and I think slowly is the answer. You know, people are just starting to make experiments in terms of formatting comics specifically for digital that are not motion comics, that are actually comics that work on a digital platform, work for the iPad, work for the iPhone, work for other digital platforms like that. In terms of sales, the big experiment, at least in terms of the big two, Marvel and DC, is not going to happen until August 31st, when DC launches their entire line digitally. So we're not really going to have a good idea about that, I think, until like a month later. Or even several months later, to see how it affects print versus digital.
Well, it sort of dovetails with what Neil was saying earlier about pacing when you're writing a comic. Like, I feel like people haven't figured out how to do that in the small screen and make it stop it, keep it from being a motion comic where it's just like sort of popping, where it's like actually controlling the pace at which the readers can view the comic.
You know, it's interesting too. It's interesting too. I mean, I'm a big Warren Ellis fan, and I've been picking up Freak Angels.
Yes.
Which is fantastic, but I can't read it on the computer. I mean, it's 1 page a week, and so then I guess once or twice a year they release a. Is it 1 page? I guess it's 1 page a week, and then once a year they come out with a trade paperback, a collectible thing. And I've tried to read it online. I can't do it. Just wait until the trade comes out. I sit and read it all at once. And I just...
Yeah. Well, I think there's a difference between putting a regular comic online digitally and releasing a digital comic.
No. I understand, but I think that goes both ways. I think that with the big two, they're going to be releasing the thing all at once. I think that one of the things they're trying to do with digital comics now is that, and I think that to me doesn't work. I think that for some people it does. But then I've always been a paper person. I like actually having books.
Yeah. Cool. Let's go to the next question.
Did you see Cowboys and Aliens? Did you like it?
Whoa!
Yeah!
Wow, let's do this.
Fight!
A new challenger.
Yeah. We've got a new beat.
I think that pretty much settled the debate.
Yeah,
so you decide which side you fall on. Or...
But is there like a meh?
what did
he
you
made
like
the
about?
Fart noise and gave a thumbs up.
Yeah.
What did I like about it?
Yeah.
It was Indiana Jones teaming up with James Bond to kick the shit out of some aliens.
He's prepared that statement.
I thought that part of it lasted about 3 minutes. The fun part of it. The rest of it was like there was not an original or new idea or executed. I mean, it was all by the numbers. It was all. There wasn't anything fun about it. I thought it was like it was work.
Didn't he have a cool like bracelet or something?
Yeah, that got old.
That's
too.
What I understand.
Yeah, he had a cool bracelet.
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
Bracelets are cool.
Yeah.
Next question.
What is more important for comics, artists or writers?
What?
Wow. Man. Equally important.
Equally?
Yeah.
Well, there's the debate of like
what's
a good writer versus good artist. Like, I think I always side on having a better writer.
I pick stuff up for the art, and then I also, if I love a writer, no matter what they're working on, if I see that name, I'll pick it up for that.
Do you pick up a book solely based on the artist? If you know...
Sometimes. If the artist is great, I will.
Yeah. But not consistently.
What? If it's good.
But consistently, you're like, oh, I'm going to follow this artist. Like
if they're doing one of his favorite comics, I'll be like, fuck that,
because you don't like the writer.
I don't like a lot.
Ideally, it's equally important because they're both good storytellers in their own right. A good writer should be a good storyteller. A good artist should be a good storyteller.
But which will you tolerate? Interestingly,
which would you tolerate a worse?
I don't think that's a good way of looking at it, actually.
Oh, I do, actually.
Well, but that's the only way to weigh them, is what would make you stop reading a book first? Worst writing or worse art?
Probably both.
I can tolerate shitty art. I cannot tolerate bad writing. The thing is, there's certain stuff that's well written, and I look at it and it's like, the art is, it's awful. But I force struggle through it because the story is well put together. So, I mean, I would lean towards the writing, but I think...
You're also a writer.
But actually, that argument supports artists, because artists are more important because they will keep you
on. Well, what
book.
I was about to say was, I think that artists are much bigger stars in comic books than writers are. I think I'm saying it's like...
The worst artists aren't stars.
No, but I mean, of the well-known people in comics, aside from Alan Moore, Frank Miller, and Frank Miller's an artist too, and Grant Morrison, I guess Geoff Johns, there's a couple others, but I mean, you know, the biggest names are much, I think, are artists rather than than writers. Mark Miller is another one. But I mean, you know, you've got, there's a long list of artists who I think people flock to, and these are the guys who just do the big stuff, the bigger stories and the bigger characters. But I think that generally, I would lean towards writing. Yes, I'm a writer, but I also appreciate good story, and that's what's important. That's the most important thing to me. You know, I mean, certain characters I love, I'll read. You know, I'll pick up books, even if I don't like what Tony Daniel does with Batman, but I read Batman anyway because it's Batman. It's one of my favorites. You know.
Do you like his art? Since he does both.
I don't like.
Or are you just saying like fuck that guy?
I don't quite understand that. I don't get Tony Daniels. I mean, he's, you know, and he's going to be doing Detective Comics in the reboot. I don't get it. But, you know.
Very nice guy.
I'm sure.
Next.
Equally important. Let's get to the next question.
Yeah. Are readers becoming desensitized by special effects in comics, e.g., the destruction of NYC so many times?
Oh, like big set pieces?
Yeah.
I mean, like anything else, you know, once you top something, you have to top it even bigger the next time. And, you know, when you get to something like Crisis on Infinite Earths, which obviously was 1985, so a really long time ago, where it's every single universe the entire world is destroyed. In the entire world. That was a terrible phrase. But when you get to something that big, you can't really get bigger than that. So things, I think, have started to focus hopefully more on character and story there, and that's how you make it big. You make it important for the individual characters rather than just blowing shit up good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there was an issue of Invincible recently where all of Las Vegas was blown up and it was turned into glass scene.
Yeah.
It was turned into glass, and I was like, I don't know, because like I feel like if it's too big,
because you hate glass, that's why.
It doesn't make a lot of sense that a city would be so destroyed that a perfectly clean glass surface would have been created.
So you hate glass.
No, I don't mind glass. Just because you have glasses doesn't mean I'm not coming out against you.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
You do realize it's about a guy who's half alien and super strong, and he was fighting a dinosaur at the time.
Right.
But your problem is
an explosion
that he...
No, where did the buildings go with my problem? Not where the glass came from.
Your problem is that he plus sand makes glass.
No, it's because a city is a thing, and if you blow it up, it doesn't just go away.
Where does the dinosaur go, though?
That's my point. The dinosaur should have had a tooth on the glass or something.
Sure, it should have been.
Or a car, or like a poker chip. It's Vegas. There are options.
Or like a sexy girl.
Yeah, like the only things that survived were Invincible, a lot of glass,
a
sexy girl.
A tooth, a car, and a sexy girl.
Now you're telling the story.
We gotta talk to Robert Kirkman about this. Let's get to this.
Seriously, how do you get anybody to come back?
Shut up.
Come on.
Why is the guy wearing a house gown?
That was already explained. Yeah. Next question.
Does that mean this guy? Yeah.
Is this a house gown?
It is a house gown.
That sounds much...
It is if you're a little Nightwing.
Oh, I'm a chimney.
Yes. Oh, a nice house gown.
Now you get it.
That's nice. What are your thoughts on the recent reveal of the new Ultimate Spider-Man?
For those of you who don't know about this, though I assume most people do, over in the Ultimate Spider-Man comics, Peter Parker died, and they recently revealed that there's going to be a new Spider-Man. He is half African American, half Latino. His name is Miles Morales. That's pretty much
cover all the demographic.
Yeah, he's part Indian.
Yeah, just a touch, just a little.
Really? Just a little bit.
He picked up a lacrosse team.
Yeah. we recently in Ultimate Fallout 4 got to see our first glimpse of him with a sort of short story. What'd you guys think about that?
I mean, it doesn't really reveal anything about him besides that he's like maybe not the best at being Spider-Man yet, and that the fact that he pulls his mask off and everyone's like, oh, he's not white. So that's pretty much all we know so far. I'm interested to see what the take's going to be because the Spider-Man mythology is very specific. Are they going to do sort of mapping that across these like racial lines, or is it going to be like a totally different thing? That's what I'm interested in, because the whole thing about Peter Parker is like he's the ultimate underdog in the Marvel Universe, and he is the hardest, you know, fighter.
I thought you were going to say the hardest working man in comics.
Well, sure.
But I didn't have a problem with, you know, the fact that Spider-Man died because it's the Ultimate Universe. So I don't have a problem with Miles Morales. I'm glad they did the MM, though. That makes me happy. What I was upset about was how short it was. It was like 4 pages.
I have a feeling they're going to do some more stories with
him. Yeah.
So you just got to wait.
Yeah, but that was bullshit. That was like, I felt like I was being ripped off. Like, I should pay less if I'm going to get so... Such a small.
Well, there were more pages after.
Yeah,
I don't know. That was a separate story.
Well, it's not. It's Ultimate Fallout. It's
yeah.
Ultimate.
You also didn't have to pay separately for every 4 pages.
Who do you buy comics from? You're being bullied. You're being bullied.
You guys don't get it from Big Lou. You gotta pay it to the dollar.
Paying for the subway ads of the DC comic book.
That's a lot of money.
Where did you meet this Big Lou?
This hangs outside my house.
Yeah, man, you gotta move.
Let's get the next question.
Last one. Do you think that superhero comics today are getting more headway to being accepted in mainstream contemporary art?
Shut up, yes. Nerd.
Whoa!
Oh, okay, different.
That's what you're doing.
You say, shut up, boy.
Nothing. Let's go.
Shut up, nerd.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think that all the superhero movies, all the comic adaptations and the superhero movies, that's
Mocha.
What?
Oh, he just wants a coffee. he still thinks you're doing the drinks.
The Museum of Comic Book Art.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think there's no question.
Eventually, all movies will take place in the Marvel Universe.
Even the DC.
Green Lantern will just have to be like, hey, Spider-Man, all right, I gotta go to space.
Yeah. Spider-Man's gonna go to space?
No, he's just gonna have to say hello to him, because everything's gonna take place. And like, Crazy Stupid Love, like, you'll just see Spider-Man going... in the background. Swinging by.
When they reboot Crazy Stupid Love?
Exactly.
Darker and grittier.
Yeah. They got it.
Crazy Stupid Death.
Oh. Uh-oh.
That's totally fine. I'd see that.
You'd see that. Did you see Crazy Stupid Love?
Nope.
Did you?
And that's it for your audience questions. Guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
We like to call it that.
Yeah, we do. All right, a couple of little geek culture topics for you. First of all, Rise of the Planet of the Apes came out and did gangbusters business at the BO. You saw it.
I did.
What'd you think of it? What is it? Or
no, it's in the middle. I mean, it's I thought I could see how people would really like it and see how people would really not. I think that it's... the ape stuff is great. Andy Serkis as the guy, as the ape.
Sorry, are most people good?
How's the rise in the planet?
Well, what I'm curious about is how many apes are there in San Francisco? Because it seems like there's several hundred.
Have you ever been there?
I have, and I don't remember there being that many apes.
Oh, you were in the wrong part of town.
Yeah.
Real apey town.
Gotta go to the ape district.
Yeah. Is that right next to Castro, where Harvey Milk was?
Yep. Harvey Milk negotiated a deal with the apes. Just to work it out.
Yeah, they cut that out of the movie. Sean Penn filmed the whole thing. They're like, I don't know, let's say this
seems
Rise
a little goofy.
But I mean, everything, you see everything. I mean, it's predictable. It's, you know, I mean, has anybody here seen the movie? No.
Zero.
Nice. I mean, good job.
We
were all seeing Crazy Stupid Love together.
Yes. Audience. I think it sort of goes into, flies in the face of all the continuity of the rest of the Planet of the Apes franchise, though.
Oh, my God. Shut up.
I like those movies. Yeah. I read the book.
Haven't you seen Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
No.
Well, then shut up.
Well, no. I know the story, though, because I observe things. It's through genetic experimentation when if there's an evolution. The whole point of the book and the other movies is evolution changes them.
Great.
Shut up.
Okay. Oh, sorry. that's true.
That's not true.
The reason Charlton Heston was like, you did it, is because all of humanity was passed and surpassed in evolution. That's been around for like 6 movies and forever.
Do they have apes in that one?
I don't remember. Yes, it's all apes.
All right. Okay, we'll move on. Another thing that's coming out of Marvel, I don't know if you guys know, but the Human Torch was killed about a year ago. Now there's rumors that with the 50th anniversary of the Fantastic Four, the Human Torch might be coming back in November. Is that something you guys want to see?
That's too soon.
I like the Human Torch, and I was sorry to see him go, but I think it's kind of too soon when you kill somebody and 6 months later he's back. Like, yeah. I thought that Bruce Wayne should have been dead longer than he was before they brought him back.
Well, he wasn't dead. He was shot with a time bullet.
Well, fine. He should have been, you know, lost in time longer. I mean, the whole point is if you're going to make Dick Grayson Batman, or if you're going to change things around, then give it more than 18 months or 2 weeks.
It all comes back to Dick Grayson.
Well, of course it comes back to Dick Grayson. Jesus, have you not been paying attention?
Your Grayson agenda.
Yeah, this actually ties in really nicely. Our next news item. So DC, as we mentioned, is relaunching their whole superhero line starting August 31st, running through September. One of the questions that people have had is the timeline as how it affects Batman, because supposedly the whole DC universe has happened over 5 years, but he's had 4 or 5 Robins in this time. So DC recently said, well, Robins are basically like Batman's interns.
You see, what are they? They were hit, what are they saying? That's crazy.
They're doing it for college credit.
Yeah, totally. He brings them water and mochas. Clearly.
Yeah, museum of comic and cartoon art.
Exactly.
Nice.
Drives him to mocha.
Yeah. Would you be excited to be Batman's intern?
I think we covered that.
Cool. Next thing, another DC thing. Wish we had a screen here, but we don't. But you've probably all seen the Catwoman photo that hit the net with Anne Hathaway in the new costume from Dark Knight Rises.
Seriously, I need to ask a question.
Yeah.
Who thinks Anne Hathaway is sexy? I don't get it. Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't. She's attractive. She's not, I don't find her. And Selena Kyle is sexy. And Anne Hathaway is what?
Fictional.
Yeah, but still, sexy character. She's the Catwoman.
Depends on how she's drawn.
All right, I saw an ad in here for the various drawings of the Catwoman.
No, I'm sure you keep track of where you ever see a Catwoman.
This is a sexy woman right here.
Is that some stills from the Princess Diaries? Because that's what it looks like to me.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, well, I don't.
Yes,
of course.
I thought the photo, every time they release photos, like the pictures of Bane, I'm like, oh, that's not intimidating at all. Like, he just has like a weird.
Yeah, he has like a crab that got on his face.
Yeah, it's very.
Looks
very
like strange. Something out of Alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the Catwoman thing.
I guess that's what I was thinking of. Facehugger, not crab.
They're
different. I ordered crab cakes the other day, and they gave me a bunch of facehuggers, and I was like, that's what I meant.
You go to some weird restaurants.
Sure do.
So I don't know, the picture, it was like, oh, look at this picture, and I was like, it's a woman on a motorcycle.
With a Bluetooth sunglass thing going on.
Yeah, and that's cool.
Is it?
Is it?
Sunglasses are, in general, cool.
Next thing, this is actually a bunch of news that came out of Marvel on the movie side. First of all, Amazing Spider-Man 2 is going to happen in 2014. Sony has already announced, though the first movie hasn't come out. Also, there's going to be 2 mystery Marvel movies that will probably be announced at the Disney D23 conference that is happening in the next couple of weeks. But are you looking forward to all these new superhero movies, or do you think, you know, I'd give it a rest?
Are we going to the Disney conference? I would love to get up in there.
Yeah.
Really?
See what the news is with That's So Raven and stuff. I don't know. It's a little worrisome. Like, it's so many movies that maybe some of them are going to be worse for being rushed out.
Yeah.
Perhaps. But you guys have been following the Ant-Man movie, Edgar Wright, and everybody's working on that. That's really exciting.
Yeah, that looks...
Well, that gets into...
He's been talking about that since Shaun of the Dead. I mean...
Yeah, no, that's not one of the secret ones, obviously.
No,
but, like,
well, that
that's one that's like an unlikely hit to me, Ant-Man movie.
That's my question, actually. So they've announced there's going to be one secret Marvel movie that's coming out in May of 2014, another secret Marvel movie that's coming out in end of June of 2014. What do you think those two movies are?
Doctor Strange is one of them.
Okay.
Would be my guess.
And the other?
I don't know. Power Man and Iron Fist, maybe?
Yeah?
Wow. Wasn't there some gossip about an Iron Fist?
They've been talking about a Power Man movie for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, with various... But I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to capitalize on that. I think I would be shocked if Doctor Strange is not one of them because they've been talking about it for so long.
Who's going to go see that movie?
I don't know.
No, but, like, I don't get it. I just don't, like, what a weird character to
imagine. Magic enthusiasts.
Well, I think that, you know, I mean, interestingly, I'm working on there's the Harry Potter thing, with it's over now. I'm actually working on an American version of that called Larry Potter. Nice. So that Dr. Strange can come out of that.
Got it. Instead of a wand, he has a gun.
Yeah, something like
he's
that.
He's like, actually, oh, shut the fuck up.
Like a magic gun.
And he forces people to pay every 4 pages for the
Right. There's Big Lou, interestingly, character in the
good.
He's the snake.
Yeah, just get him off my stoop.
Great. Last little thing, this actually ties in nicely with a couple of things we've talked about. So with DC is releasing their new 52 comics come September. They're also releasing them digitally at the same time. There's been a lot of concerns about keeping the schedule up. It was recently sort of leaked or announced, I'm not sure which, that the second issue of Action Comics, the first issue is drawn by Rex Morales, second issue is going to be drawn by Brent Anderson, an entirely different artist. What do you think? Think about them. What?
Only five pages?
Yeah. Is that confirmed?
Huh? Wait, back up. Brent and Rex Morales are not.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for coming by. You should come up here.
I'll switch places.
Well, what do you,
is
how
that,
do you
is that a
fill-in
or is that an artistic choice?
Fill-in.
How do you feel about that? Second issue already having a fill-in. Is it more important to keep it on schedule or keep the
art term consistent? Fill-in is never a great thing.
Ever.
So I don't know. Like,
could
yes, I agree.
Them, what if we call them maybe like mix-ins?
Yeah, I agree. Keeping on schedule, especially at their new launch, I guess that's a necessity.
Yeah.
So they have to. But like, it's just every time I read a comic where it's clear that they had to do it out of time, a time crunch, I'm like, ugh,
it
takes you out of the story.
It does take.
It's such a bummer.
But I also think that if you have, they've known about this for a long time and they couldn't get ahead. I mean, that just baffles me. It's like it continues to aggravate me about comics in general. That, you know, I mean. I was going to mention something before about Rachel Rising, and this is actually a good segue into it, is that for years and years and years since I was a kid, I almost never read books with that when they come out. I wait until the arc is done and then read them all at once. So they tend to stack up. Like, I waited a year until a Dark Knight 4 came out, the original, and then finally sat down, didn't read 1, 2, 3, same thing with Watchmen. And this is before the internet, so I'm old. But the you know, this is before the internet, so I mean there weren't spoilers like that. But now I have to be careful about what I read. But the thing is that if I'm sitting there and, you know, I gotta wait 6 months for the new issue of whatever to come out, it drives me crazy. It's like, finish the art. Don't release the art. Don't put it out there until, you know, everything's done.
Bless you.
You know, and if you've got this whole new series coming out, you're rebooting the whole friggin' line. You already got fill-in art at issue 2. That's baffling to me.
Lots of coordinate. And they remember the brain problems over at DC, hitting the head of the bowling ball.
All right.
Cool. And that's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Peter LePage.
Mr. Peter.
This is the part we get back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free. Card of Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Simply raise your hand.
I would.
First hand up, guy. Come on down.
Really?
Or across. Or
company.
Whatever you. Yeah. Step on up. What's your name?
Joe.
Joe. Audience.
Audience. Joe.
Yeah.
All right. Nice. So here's gonna be your gift card that you're gonna win there.
Nice.
Okay, so how this works is I read you a question, you listen to all three possible answers,
right.
Go 3 for 3, gift card yours,
right.
Okay? Today's trivia is on Lone Ranger and the Tonto. Specifically,
I can't say it's my expert.
All right, thank you, Booth Man.
Give just a card.
All right, here we go. Okay, in the Lone Ranger and Tonto series that he was working on, what or who is Reston in the comic? Is it A, a mining town, B, a ghost, or C, a cross between the Red Roof Inn and Best Western? So it's either A, a mining town, or it's B, a ghost.
I'm going to go for a mining town.
Yes! Question 2. The lore of Reston is that man has sought their fortune there, but blank happens. Is it A, they fail because it is a cursed town? B, they never return because it is a haunted town? Or C, they love it because it's rent stabilized? So it's either A or it's B. B.
B.
B is correct. Never return. Okay. What was revealed the Lone Ranger's first name? Is it A, John, B, Henry, or C, Eliza Dushku? Come on, yes, C. No, no, it's either A or it's B. John.
Sure, it's not C.
I know, I want it to be Eliza Dushku because it's a hilarious name.
Eliza Dushku Lone Ranger.
Yeah, Eliza Dushku Lone Ranger, what?
Nope.
I'm going to go away.
A is correct!
Awesome. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is new comic book day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm not looking forward to it. I'm nervous about it, but it's the new Punisher Max. I was warned that I might freak out.
Big issue. Big issue. I'm looking forward to... There's a bunch of stuff. I know we've sort of shit on DC a lot tonight, but like... Batgirl, Detective Comics, both sort of finishing their runs before the big launch.
Red Robin, too.
Red Robin, I've also been reading. Great. Also, I'd like to say the DC Retroactive Justice League book is going to be really good, I think, as well.
All right, cool. I'm looking forward to The Red Wing number 2 by Jonathan Hickman from Image Comics.
Yeah.
First issue was really cool. I was really looking forward to the second issue. It's a... time travel meets Top Gun type story where there's a war being fought through time.
It's all just the volleyball.
It's a caveman and a Viking and they're playing volleyball with their shirts off.
Yeah.
We know how that scene works.
No, let me really get into it.
It's horrible.
And then they're like, we feel a need for time. And then,
I feel a rhyme for time.
Oh, that's much better. What are you looking forward to, Neil?
I actually look the same, a lot of the same last issue books of the Batman series, but also coming out, interestingly, with, I mentioned Rachel Rising, the collection of Echo comes out tomorrow. Oh. Terry Moore's Echo, which I think is the best comic book I've read all year.
Nice.
It's really, really good. And if you haven't read it, definitely pick it up. I think it's what, $39.99 or something.
Something like that.
So you don't have to actually sell them on.
No, it's worth it. I mean, it's fantastic. It's a dynamite story. It's really one of the best.
If you guys want to hang out, he'll take you to the comic book shop.
I'll take you there. Yeah, it'll be great tomorrow.
Pick out a copy.
But no, that would be the thing that I would recommend most.
Cool. And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
You can Netflix a movie I made called Two Ninas. Years ago with Amanda Pete and Ron Livingston, but coming up, I'll be directing a show here at the Spurn, here at the Pit upstairs called Spurn in October, November. It'll be one night a week, I think Friday nights in October, November for about 6 or 7 weeks. So keep your eyes peeled for it. Very funny sketch show, and it's the 10th anniversary of Spurn. So we're doing something different. It's all written, it's sketch, but we're going to be taking classic sketches from over the years and mixing them in every week. So every show will be different.
Cool.
Very cool. Cool. A couple of things before we go. You can check us out at youtube.com/comicbookclub. Also, after 4.5 years, we finally have a website. But you can check it out at comicbookclublive.com because Comic Book Club was taken. Pete, some stuff you want to plug?
Like us on Facebook so you can hear about all the fun shows that we do here. Also, Drink and Draw at Jack Dempsey's is going to be Drinking and Drawing. It's the 28th, so if you're an artist and you want to hang out with other artists and draw stuff there, they do a cool thing.
Yeah. $2 beers.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it's pretty sweet.
Nice. A couple of things before we go. We want to thank Neil for being on the show. Yeah! Geekman! But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We are every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody!
See you guys.